go over a particular part with our teens before we let them go today. And again, admittedly, I know it's a loop. Okay, can we go to the I am healed, I am whole, like that part? There we go. Or what starts with I'm blessed? Okay. So teens, I did, just like last week, look ahead to what you're going to talk about just to see if I'd rather be in Activate versus preaching. I think I don't get the choice. I think I do have to stay in here just based on the schedule. But I wanted to check out what you were going to be learning. And so last week, it was my understanding that you were learning about the spiritual gifts. Is that correct? Anybody remember anything from that? I'm not going to put you on quiz. Just reflect. Like, do you remember anything from last week? Raise your hand if you remember something from last week. Ooh, okay. The deltoid muscles aren't working too well. Okay. Do you remember what passage you might have read last week? Oh, not seeing any. Okay, all right. Fair enough. I'm going to assume it was somewhere around 1 Corinthians. I'm going to assume it was somewhere around chapter 12. I'm going to assume you read like a list of gifts. And I'm assuming that because I read your lesson plan for last week. I'm going to assume that that's where you were, right? And that you read that this week. But the reason why I'm bringing this back up is because the title of today's lesson that your amazing teachers are going to be facilitating is I Am Gifted. And I want to caution you before you go back there and learn that, because I am gifted could be a wonderful thing, but it also could be a dangerous thing depending on who or how we understand that gifting. Who gave us the gifting and who wants us to use the gifting for their glory. Amen? Right? If I think I'm gifted and I'm using it for me, that's a problem. If I think I'm gifted and I can use it for my selfish gain, that's a problem. If I believe I'm gifted and I've been filled with his spirit and I've been given tools that I might serve him well, that I might help build up the church, yes, even now as teenagers, that I might bring him glory right now, then we're good. But I want to read this list real quick, because these are some other things that you are. Like, I am gifted, but you're also blessed, because you sang it, but you may have not necessarily said, like, this means something for me. You might have just sang it because, well, the praise team was... I don't know how to play the guitar, so is this right? Are you supposed to strum down and up? Okay. All right, I saw something on social media, and it said you had strum down and up. Okay, so like this? All right, Dom, we'll talk afterwards. I need help, right? So because this was happening, you were singing, but what was being said is true about you, all right? So better yet, can we say it together? Activate. The adults won't say it. It's not about them right now. Just bearded guy and y'all. Cool. I am blessed. Okay, we're going to say it again. With your chat. I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. You sure? Okay, cool. All right, keep going. I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed. Filled with your power is what it says, but his power, right? So filled with your power. But this is the operative sentence before you go back there. Libby, as loud as you can, what's that last line say? For the glory of Jesus' name. Levi, as loud as you can, what's that last line say? For the glory of Jesus' name. Oliver, what's it say?
For the glory of Jesus' name.
Okay. Finn, I don't think they heard Oliver in the back. Can you say it like even louder?
The glory of Jesus' name.
Asher, I think you're going to, it's because of the shirt color you're wearing. I like your shirt color a lot. Like, I wish I could pull that off, but with my complexion, it may not work as well, right? Because I had that color analysis by Molly, right? Color spark, yep. So it won't work for me, but it's working for you. Can you read that last line as enthusiastic as possible, please? Cool. So as you all head back there, and even some of the teens are in the back, if I missed anybody, as you head back there, and we're talking about I am gifted, I'm gifted by someone for something, and the for something is for the glory of Jesus' name. Amen? All right, go on back. Thank you. Parents and non-parents, I always find it interesting how helpful the lessons are that the teens get. And so I encourage you, if you want access, let's say you're a non-parent here and you're like, I kind of want to know what they're learning because I feel like it's more up my speed. It's more down my alley, right? Ask Bree. I'm sure we can get you the lesson plan. But I find that I learn just as much, maybe more so, when I'm with them and when I'm with Grace Kids than when I'm in here sometimes. And it's not a knock on myself or the other elders. It's just that we don't want to ever think that what they're getting is washed down or less significant. They're getting something very important. And there's people in this room that don't think they're gifted. There's people in this room that don't think they have anything to contribute to the Lord. And if you remember anything from last week, which I hope you do a better job than they did with the, if you remember stuff from last week, but if you remember, when I say something different than what God says about me, I am in conflict with him. So if God says that he has gifted me, and if God says he has filled me with his spirit, and I go, but I don't have anything to offer the world, who would ever like me, and how could I ever be helpful? When they call for new members to teams, like, I don't know if I should join. I don't really know if I have anything to provide. I mean, like, I can do some stuff, but, like, at work, though. Not here, because, like, here's pretty serious. You're in conflict with a truth about you. And we want to get to a point where I don't want anything that comes out of here to be in conflict with him. Anything. I want to be so filled in my heart with truth, because we know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I want to be so filled with truth, so pervaded with truth, so busting at the seams with truth, that when I speak, I only speak truth as defined by him. That's the operative part, as defined by him. There's an expression that was very popular at my old church, and I've even heard it at work a couple times, so maybe it wasn't just an us thing, but there was an expression that said, you know, there's three sides to a story. Do you know what they are? Say it one more time. Yeah. But I don't care about the first two sides. Right? Because we say that, and then we, like, linger on, but my vantage point was pretty good, and your vantage point was sucky. And we linger on, like, I get that I don't have the full picture, but I got most of the picture. We linger on that. And I want us to be so concerned about his side of the matter, so concerned about what he says, that we don't depart from it. What does that mean? When this series was first inspired, I was thinking about conflict, as I mentioned, and I said globally, nationally, regionally, in our state, in our locale, right? In our workplaces, in our families, that we're seeing conflict. And if I'm being honest, I was focusing on social media, but I kind of shrouded that last week because I didn't want anybody to think I was coming for them. But it's the final message in the series. So I'll just come clean and say, I get concerned with some of the stuff I see on social. Some of it from you, most of it from others. There's billions of content creators. So, like, it's not like, Dan, if you were posting something crazy that I actually saw what you posted, I don't know. So if you did post something crazy this week, stop it. But, like, I don't really know, though. I just know I've seen some stuff that's disconcerting, and I was going to come up here, and I was going to talk about how y'all better not be in conflict with each other. Y'all better be speaking correctly about your brothers and sisters in Christ, and that wouldn't have helped anyone. Because if I don't first start with, when I'm in conflict interpersonally, when I'm in conflict with people at work, when I'm in conflict with people in the community, when I'm in conflict with other people from other political parties and ideologies, when I'm in conflict with people from other religions, when I'm in conflict with them, oftentimes it's not our righteous indignation. Oftentimes it's not how much truth I have spilling out. Oftentimes it's you're in love with your side of the story. Oftentimes. Not always. But oftentimes, you are so in love with your perspective, so ensconced in your echo chamber that you just constantly are saying the thing that was told to you, constantly regurgitating it. And it's dangerous, saints. Dangerous. I'm not saying you don't got any of it right. I'm saying he has it all right. And this constant propensity to say, I'm going to say what my politician of choice, my musician of choice, that's scarier. My musician of choice, my author of choice, my parent of choice, my mentor of choice, to say any of those things, which some of them have value, but to say them as if they are the only truth is dangerous. Because we have access to truth, full truth. And we make these statements and we say, well, I'm just telling you how it is. I'm just speaking my mind. I gotta say this. Someone's got to respond. It's not always you. It is seldom you. And sometimes we approach things as if, like, I have to say it, but you really don't. And imagine if we took more opportunities to say, I'm going to be quiet in this moment. Or I'm going to use all my words in prayer this week, not in conflict. I got so much to say to you, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say it to him. Because I want the best for you. We're in conflict, but I want the best for you. So I'm going to speak to him because he can provide for you. He can transform you. He can transform me. He can lead us both to forgiveness. But I'm using all my words towards you when I need to be aiming them somewhere else. About you. And you know that if I'm talking about you to him, it's not going to go but so negative. He's not going to allow that. But if I talk about you to the right person, not to all the wrong people, you might transform. So God really wants us to use our mouth well. And what I used as a backdrop for all of this was a story in Luke chapter 1. We won't read it now for the sake of time. But in Luke chapter 1, there's a story about a person named Zechariah, a priest named Zechariah. And Zechariah was righteous before the Lord. So was his wife Elizabeth. They even take the time to mention it in the text, that they were holy, they were from this line, and he was from a royal line of priests, like, but he was official, right? He wasn't just somebody's cousin. He was a part of this royal line. He was connected, right? And he's in the temple, and he's serving for his duties. He is performing the incense duties as per lots that were drawn, and he's in the temple, and all of a sudden, his regularly scheduled program gets interrupted by the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel says, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. You will have a child. Your wife will give birth to a son, and his name will be John, and all people will be blessed. And he will be filled with the spirit of Elijah, and he'll go before him, and he will usher in the kingdom of God. It's pretty heavy stuff. How did Zechariah respond? You don't got to say it out loud because I didn't ask Ms. Kim to walk around with the mic yet. But you know how he responded. So if you're writing in your journal, you might want to circle that part. He responded without faith. As it was put by a few of you, he responded without faith. And there's a variety of reasons why. One that, as I listened back to the message a couple times last week, one that was given that I particularly liked was from my sis, Lori Kelly. What did she say? Lori said that Zechariah's words illustrated a lack of faith. And I asked Lori, hey, why is that a problem? And she said, this is a problem because God wants us to walk in faith. When we walk in faith, our words will line up with the Lord and we will not be in conflict. When we walk in faith, is that what the really good Christians do, or is that what all people who call Christ Lord do? So that was actually something for all of you. Is walking in faith something that just the super saints do, or something that everybody who calls Jesus Christ Lord should do? All right, y'all still not talking to me. Okay. Is walking in faith something that only Dr. Keene does, or is it something that Dom should do? Dom, so you laughed too fast. I didn't know who I was going to call on. Then you went, so you made yourself open. But is it something only Dr. Keene should do, or is it something Dom should be walking in? Every single person, even you. Yeah. Didn't think I was going to talk to you today, huh? You're like, I'm just a little kid. But even you. Every single person in this room, if you got breath, should be walking in faith. And that might look different when you're more or you're less mature. But as we walk with him longer, walking in faith should look like something. And you should look different than the people around you. You should talk different than the people around you. You should think different than the people around you. You should respond differently than the people around you. And when you're not, you need to say, Lord, I haven't been walking in enough faith, but help strengthen my faith. And it starts with saying, I'm just going to agree with you. Before I ask for any of those big things, before I try to go on and do some of the miraculous things in life, before I try to really shake up the kingdom for God, I just want to agree with him. What is he saying about me and to me, about my situation, that I could be saying, yes, Lord, be it unto me as you have spoken? Why do I say those words? Because in the same chapter, and we didn't cover it last week, but in the same chapter, you have Zechariah saying, how will I know this? I am old and my wife is advanced in years. And just a few verses down, Mary's told she's going to give birth to Jesus as a virgin. And her response is, be it unto me as you have spoken. No request for proof. No need of signs. No mention of her lack of practices that usually result in children. All it was be it unto me as you have spoken. Because if you said it, it must come to pass. Maybe she's familiar with the Old Testament where it says that the rain comes down and it accomplishes its purposes and then it returns unto the Lord. Just like his word, it doesn't return unto him void. So maybe Mary was familiar with that. Maybe that's something she studied. And she said, when God says something, it can't return unto him void. It cannot. It is impossible. So if God says, I will be with child, then I guess I need to start getting maternity clothes together. Guess I got to start buying a crib and some diapers. They're expensive. I don't know what they used for diapers back then, but I'd imagine it was still expensive. Beth's like, they didn't use Donovan. Come on. Donovan, come on. I say some stuff sometimes to mess with y'all, just so we're clear. Like when you listen back, you're like, why do you have to say that? So that you don't fall asleep. That's it, right? So there's a response that is not an evil response, it's just one that's in conflict, right? One that's in conflict with the truth of God because it's focused too much on one's abilities naturally. And one that's full of faith that says, God, if you said it, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't need to know. It's going to happen because you said it, right? And we got to realize that people who have been restored and renewed and redeemed by the Most High God, they talk this way on a regular basis, not so that they can be impressive, but it's because it's just what they do. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Starting at verse 43, speaking to it's just what they do. Let's see here. We're going to see a parable about trees, good tree and an evil tree. Go ahead and turn to it if you have your paper Bibles. Again, chapter 6, I heard some people whispering, 666. Don't say the number too many times. Okay, I'll read it here. Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 43, it says in my translation, I'm using the English Standard Version, it says, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure in his heart produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. This used to be super condemning when I read it before I received truth. Because I have said so many bad things. So many bad things, buddy. Like, way too many bad things. And when I saw this, I'm like, well, if only evil people can say evil things, then I guess I must be. And I'm not here to say scripture is wrong. Here's what I am here to say. I think that scripture would support that I no longer have an evil nature, a sin nature no longer rules me, and I'm free to make a choice. But it doesn't mean that since I'm freed from that nature, I won't make bad ones. And if you wanted to understand what the whole teaching series is about, it's about people making bad decisions when they didn't have to. God has made you new. He has transformed your root system. You can produce good fruit and you can say words that will build up his church and provide him with the due glory. And yet, you still say, but they made me so mad. I need to tell them about themselves. Or one of my favorites over the years, I need to remind them I'm from Philly. No, I ain't never did anything violent in my life, y'all. The last fight I was in was in 9th grade, and I'm not even sure if I won. Right? The way I tell the story, oh, I whooped that person's behind. But I'm not even sure if I won. And if we played back the tapes, you would see that I'm no thug. Like, I'm not hard. No tattoos that show my violent past. I get scared just like anybody else. I was washing dishes right before service, and the wind blew real loud. I was like, because I'm thinking some of my roof came off. I'm like, I don't even know if I got enough money for that. Like, that sounded like roof pieces. It was a branch. It wasn't that deep. So when I say, like, let me remind them I'm from Philly, like, well, it means nothing. I could probably convince you it means something, but truly it means nothing. I'm not going to aim to hurt anybody. But every once in a while, I get angry, and instead of speaking out of who God has made me to be, I want to speak out of where I came from. I want to speak out of the situations I've been a part of, what I've survived and endured. I want to speak out of my strength, and I don't want to speak out of his. That's a problem. So start to look at and examine, not just today, not just looking back, but going forward. Start to examine, what am I saying that is in conflict with God? Because all of us now have the power to change what comes out of here. Because he is changing what goes into here. You have some say in that too, and we'll get to that later. But for the most part, by and large, he has changed what this is like. He has given you a new heart. And if you don't believe so, you can ask for one. How do I know that? We're not going to pull this up. Bethany, do not dare run to this because this is one of the ones I said I would give you and then decided not to give you, so I'm just going to reference this. But in your notes, I want you to write down Psalm 51, verse 10. And it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If you feel like you don't have the requisite equipment to do what I'm calling for you to do, ask for it. He is faithful and just, and he will give you a new heart if that's what you desire. If you feel like I can't obey him, I can't talk a certain way, we got to change that. Because there's an expectation that if I've been made brand new, I can talk brand new. I can talk redeemed if I am redeemed. I can talk healed if I am healed. I can talk whole if I am whole. You see how I'm using? Okay, cool. So ask for what it is you don't have. And this kind of brings me to my first point. To change your first response, you need to store something different in your heart. That's your responsibility. I find, and you might find too, that when I stub my toe, the first thing I say is not, hallelujah! What do you say when you stub your toe? Pinch your finger, cut your skin right under that nail when you're trying to open an envelope because you didn't use the letter opener. Dan, did you just do that? Aw. Bendito. Okay. Hope it heals quickly. Neosporin for the win. But when those things happen, you don't talk. You don't talk with praises and glories and amens to our God. Why is it that the thing that you are thinking of right now, that you're giggling about, why is that the first thing you say? Likely, because we haven't filled this enough with something better. It hurts. That's true. That's a reality. But why am I speaking out of my hurt? I have injuries from before that occasionally plague me. And I don't want to keep talking out of the vulgar language that I talk out of when I'm in pain. I want to replace these things. But it needs to be more than just behavior modification. Because otherwise, I'm just trying to change a list of words. I'm trying to say, hey, this is the first thing I'm going to say. But there hasn't been any real transformation. And at some point, that intentionality will break down. That willpower will fail you. So we got to start saying, I want to fill more things in. Because it could be that your music selections are why you're firing off that foul language. It could be your streaming selections. It could be your social media viewing. It could just be the neighbor next door who is wild. And you overhear it when you're cooking with your window open. But all the same, whatever it is you're hearing on a regular basis and storing in a regular basis and meditating on a regular basis, it will come out. So if you want to change your first word, change what you fill yourself with. Does that make sense? Psalm 119, 9 through 16. We're not going to read it, but I want to give you some sprinkling. So again, write this in your notes because there's some homework for this week. Psalm 119, 119, 100 plus 10 plus 9. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, it says a couple of things. It says, seek the Lord with your whole heart. You want to change what's in it? I want to seek the Lord with everything I got. Some of us have had a little bit of a lackluster seeking. That's not a shot without it coming back here. Some of us have a lackluster pursuit of the Lord because we say, I've already attained salvation and I'll grow when it's convenient. And I don't spend time with him regularly some weeks, but I want to change that because I spend time with a lot of other things regularly. So there's always time. Make it a priority. I want to pursue him with my entire heart. That's one way in which we can change how we're filled. I want to store his word in my heart. Verse 16, I want to delight in his statutes. I want to delight in his laws. I want to delight in his proclamations. He might say stuff that makes me uncomfortable. He might say stuff that he wants me to give up, and I don't want to. But I want to delight in what he says. He might send me one direction, and I'm like, but I was really comfortable over here. I was planning on going to Tarshish instead. I'm good on going to Nineveh. And God says, but I want you in Nineveh. So I delight in what you say, and I will do what you say. You have that as a practice, you'll find that your heart will change over time. But it starts with delighting in him. It says it differently in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're only going to do verses 19 through 23 to start. Can we go there? Hebrews chapter 10. I'll pull it up too. Oh, good. So we're only going to go to verse 23. This is a heads up. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Sometimes when we enter our situations, it's not that we're entering them with foul language, it's not that we're entering them with angry language, we're entering them with weak or feeble language. We're talking about our situations from a place of cowardice or talking about it from a place of fear and doubt, and yet our word tells us to hold fast, to grip aggressively, to not let go, to go to this thing first with intensity, the confession of our hope without wavering. Not because it's the good Christian thing to do, but rather because he who promised is what? Faithful. So what I'm clinging to change the temperature and condition and the posture of my heart, what I'm clinging to is his faithfulness. Again, go back to Mary. She didn't say, what am I capable of doing? She said, what is he capable of doing? And if he said it, he who promised is what, Cindy?
Faithful.
Amen. Elisa DeStefano is going to love this one. Elisa, where am I going? It's in Philippians. You built a whole business on it. If I pull it up, will you read it for us? Kim, can you bring her microphone? Because Elisa's going to read it better than I would. Like, this is something she's been meditating on for years.
True, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
What are you thinking about? Thank you, Elisa. What are you thinking about? You want to change what's in your heart? We got to think about some better stuff. Can we go back to verse 7 again, please? I'll read it too. I need this reminder. Or is it verse 8? I'm so sorry, y'all. I kept saying verse 7. You're like, what's wrong with him? Verse 7 says he'll give us a peace that transcends all understanding. And he keeps giving us verse 7. We want verse 8. That's what his notes say. I'm messing with you. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What are you thinking about? I promise you, your feed isn't full of this. I'm not saying there's nothing good on social media. I'm not saying there's nothing good in the news, but it seldom is. And it's because way before social media had an algorithm, CNN and Fox News had an algorithm. And they know that if they lead with a car crash or a shooting, you're going to watch. And on the occasional time when the weather is like really scary outside and it makes you jump while washing dishes before church, they might lead with that too. But it's always that thing that's going to captivate your attention. It's very seldom firefighters saved a cat in a tree. It's very seldom what you're getting at 10 o'clock, the first 10 at 10. You're not getting that. Try me tonight. Turn on the news. And just write in your journal what the first 10 minutes covers. And if I'm wrong because you get more good than bad, let me know. I'm on Instagram, Donovan Daniel Speaks. You can DM me. But I assure you, I will not be wrong. Because there was algorithms way before the things you're stuck on now. Way before there was a TikTok, there was the news. There was the newspaper. And for some reason, we have this desire that we still have not put to death where we really want to feed on and ruminate on and think about and talk about with friends negative things. And maybe you've evolved past this, but I still struggle with it. And this is an important reminder among a whole bunch of other reminders. Earlier in this chapter, it says, let your gentleness be known before all men, the Lord is near. It says that we should not be anxious for anything, but with everything, with prayer and supplication, make our requests known unto God, and the peace that transcends all understanding he will give us in Christ Jesus. So Paul's given us a bunch of reminders, but he's also saying, this is what y'all need to think about. Change what you're meditating on. Change what you're reflecting on. And I assure you, your heart state will be different. And you need that if you want to change your mouth. We need to move on here. Point number two. With the Lord's help, we have the power to control the tongue. James might give you a perspective that will have you think we're in disagreement. We're not. It says in James chapter 3, we can pull up real fast just to make sure. I don't want you guys to think I'm giving you something cranky here or crazy here. In James chapter 3, it says that who can tame the tongue? It is a blazing fire. It is lighting up the woods. It is a rudder that's moving the ship. It is a bit in the horse's mouth. Who can tame it? No man can tame it. Correct. Kelly, who can? God. See, the answer is not just good for Grace Kids. Occasionally, that's right up here, too. I can't control my tongue. God can. So I want to start with filling my heart with something new, but then I need to start saying to the Lord, Lord, help me to control my tongue because I want to speak a better word and you've given me one. It just doesn't always come out first. So I want to speak differently. If I'm recognizing that all of my efforts are in vain, that's okay. I want to go to the Lord. His efforts won't be. Again, remember that anything he says will not return unto him void. And I remember him saying in scripture that the good work he's begun in you, he will see it through to completion. So if he's begun a sanctifying work in you, then you are going to, if you're not currently, you're going to be capable of speaking differently. But I need to ask for help. I say help when the bills are coming. I want to say help when my mouth is running. That's something we can ask for. In 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 and 8, if you want to write this down, seems like a weird example, but I found some encouragement with this. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 8, we're not going to go to it. It says that the Amalekites raided Ziklag. This is a place where David and his mighty men had their families stored up as they were going about doing war with different parties in Canaan. And the Amalekites raided Ziklag, but they didn't murder anybody. They just took all of the resources, all of the animals, all of the wives, all of the children. Took them alive. And David and his men come back to Ziklag, and they see their city burning, and they are upset. They are stub-toe, bad word saying, angry. And they're there, and they're frustrated, and they're even talking about stoning David. Want to be a leader? They're even talking about stoning King David, dude with the harp, guy who kills Goliath, guy who also looked at Bathsheba. But mostly we focus on the good stuff that he did. So like David is pretty good in scripture. He's one of the good guys, right? But he almost didn't get to become any of that. And as all of this is breaking down, and as the people were angry, David does this. It says, in I believe verse 5 or 6, it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. How often are we encouraging ourselves in the Lord and saying, God, fill me to overflow. God, give me a joy that doesn't make sense despite my work situation. God, give me a joy that doesn't make sense despite my job searching. God, give me a joy that doesn't make sense despite the fact that I'm changing my major right now and I have no idea what you want me to do in life and I'm freaking out, God. Give me a joy and a peace. God, if my boyfriend does one more thing to get on my nerves. God, if my husband does one more thing to get on my nerves. God, if my kids just do one more thing. I can ask for a joy. I can ask for a peace that transcends all understanding. I could be encouraged in the Lord, not just in positive vibes, bro. But I could say, God, encourage me. Bring joy about in me. Because right now I don't have much joy to speak of, but I need it. And so David encourages himself in the Lord. But David also does something else. So you should read this later. In verses 7 and 8, he calls for something, this piece of armor, this clothing item that only the priests wore. He calls for the ephod. And it's something that was worn when the priests would enter the temple, and would enter the Holy of Holies, and they were speaking to God, and they were seeking wisdom, and calling for forgiveness from the people, and looking for direction. And David says, bring me the ephod. And it says, David consulted the Lord about what he should do next. You want to stop talking crazy? When you're in crazy situations, say, Lord, what should I do next? How often are you asking for direction before you're speaking? Maybe it's not often enough. And seldom do you need to respond to situations right away. Seldom do you need to respond to emails or text messages right away. Seldom. None of you were the president. None of you are facing nuclear threats. None of you are surgeons. No one's about to code on your table. But yet we speak with such an urgency as if I don't say this right now, everything's going to fall apart. That's not true. There is always time to say, Lord, what should I do? What is the best thing to say? What is the best course of action? If you don't feel like you got time for it, we need to change that perspective too. There is always time to consult the Lord. There is always time to get on a knee and say, God, what must I do? How should I respond? David learns that he should pursue the Amalekites. They not only defeat them, they recovered everything. I want to go to Psalm 141. This gives us another tool in the toolbox. Psalm 141. Starting at verse 1, it says, Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry to you. Let my prayer be set forth as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. But here's the part that I love. Set a guard, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips. Invite the Lord to be your mouth guard. You've heard me say it before. This is a reminder. And for those who weren't here when I said it a few years ago, brand new, that's okay. Psalm 141 tells me that God can be a mouth guard for me. That God can be a filter for me. That my desire to please him, that my desire to agree with him, that my recognition that I'm no longer ungodly, no longer a sinner, no longer an enemy of God, as we talked about in Romans 5 last week during communion, when I recognize those things, I can say, God, because we're on the same team, God, because you're my God, I need you to block anything that would not bring you glory, and I need you to give me words that will. Be a guard over my mouth. Be a watch at the door. Imagine if those evil words, those lesser words are trying to get by and they see God. They're going to be like, okay, I'll go back to where I came from. You want to change your mouth? Invite him to be your guard. Finally, I want to remind us that we can serve as examples and reminders to all of the others in this room, to the others in the kingdom. It is a responsibility that you have. I think that so much of this message has focused on what do I need to say differently? But on occasion, it's the people around us who we know better, who we know have been set free, and they're not talking in a way that sounds free. Now, I don't want you to run up on people and say, Dan, you shouldn't have said that. Dan, you shouldn't have said that. Dan, you shouldn't have said that. Because guess what Dan's going to do? Dan's going to stop talking around me. Dan's going to say, I'll say that somewhere else where the coast is clear. There's a way, though, I can approach Dan where I can say, brother, I know you've been set free. You'd be like, yeah, I agree. Tell your mouth. Dan, Are you struggling with finding out what to say in this situation? Dan might say, yeah, I am struggling. I truly, I'm perplexed. I'm frustrated. I don't know what to say. Cool. I've been in a similar situation, Dan, and I think this might be a better way, better course of action. But yet, can we go to the Lord together? Right? We need to get really good at correction in this room. We need to get really good at correction and accountability and supporting each other in the kingdom. Because if we were given a grade right now, I don't think it's an A. I've heard it said before that the church is really good at burying its wounded. Very good at it, exceptional, highly skilled, exceeds expectation at burying its wounded. And that is not okay. That's what the world should be like, and that would make sense. But we should not be that way. And so when we're hearing each other speak lesser words, how do we go about spurring on better behavior? How do we go about encouraging? That's something I want you to be thinking about this week. We're going to end with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. So going back to that passage we read before, because I want you to know that this isn't just my imperative, something I'm asking you to do. This is something that's in the Word, and it's encouraging us. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. How much time are you spending on considering that? Don't just spend time considering how you can spur yourself on to love and good works. I gave you that for the first 35 minutes of this teaching. But now we're saying, I'm not just going to stop with me. I'm going to think about others who I can encourage so that all of us can talk more free. So all of us can talk in a way that aligns with God, because we don't want to be in conflict with Him. Some of us may have a quick trigger, slow down, because God's not always telling you to be the one correcting. Some of us are scared to say stuff because we want to keep the status quo, speed up. This is for everyone. It doesn't say, and let the elders consider how to stir up one of the saints to love and good works. Let the praise and worship team consider. Let the Kim, who has the microphone and is serving as MC today. I don't know why I said the Kim. I don't even know. Let Kim consider it. Let the owner of Create and Curate, you smile, so that's why I'm bringing you up. Right? Sam's like, dang it, I didn't want to be mentioned today. Let the owner of Create and Curate. It's not saying any particular person. It's saying everybody needs to be doing this. So let Young Life, let people that work at Indiana Area School District, let retirees, let people who are married, let people who are widowed, let people who are young, let people who are old, let people who are whatever, let us consider, because we're part of this household of faith, this local body of believers, the kingdom, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. This week, reflect on ways in which people have done that well for you, where they've held you accountable and you said, you know what, that was really helpful. Reflect on that. What were the techniques that worked? Reflect on the times when it didn't go so well. For somebody doing it for you or you doing it for somebody else, reflect on that. Lord, why didn't this work? I came with a pure motive. You were talking wrong, so I said something. But maybe I said the correction wrong, and now both of us are not where we're supposed to be. But we can change that. So we got to consider, what are the good works we could be doing so that we might grow up the body of believers? We all need to become more mature, and we all need to be in less conflict with God and with each other. That example will do well in the world. That example will feed a dying world that only knows how to be at enmity and war with God and themselves. We have to look different. We must look different. Amen? Lord, I thank you, God, for providing us with a new heart. I thank you, God, for transforming our lives. Lord, you have given us a new root system, and as a result, we no longer have to bear evil fruit. We no longer have to utter lesser words. God, we can speak in agreement with you. We want to always agree with you in how we think, how we respond, how we talk, how we act. God, we want to be able to show a world of people who have been transformed so that they might know it is possible for them to be transformed as well. God, strengthen us. Be a guard over our mouth, Lord, as it can be difficult to change how we speak, change how we think, Lord. It can be difficult, but it is not impossible. Lord, we are so thankful that you are transforming our local body, that you are transforming the kingdom, that the good work you've begun in us, you will see it through to completion. You have not stopped. You have not ceased. God, you are sanctifying us every day. Lord, we are so grateful for it. God, where the growing pains and discomfort come, Lord, we press on anyway. When we make mistakes, we press on anyway, because, Lord, we want to see your face, and we want to know that we look like you, God. It's in your mighty name that we pray, and all of God's people say, amen.